I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
By the way, our training camp coverage is powered by Genesee Brewing Company and Window Nation. We will get back into said training camp coverage here coming up later this hour. Still plenty to get into with the Browns with day two of camp here later on today out in Berea. But we got some very, very, very sad news yesterday, Danny Cunningham. I'm not talking about Ozzy Osbourne passing away. That was very sad. Which, by the way, like, I remember when I was a kid, the Osbournes, like the show.
Yeah.
And like, I thought Ozzy Osbourne was pretty old back then. And then on top of that, like all the health stuff he's had over the years, I thought for sure that man was like in his late 80s.
Yeah, I was surprised to see he was 76.
Yeah, when they said 76, I was like, that's really, like that's, no, it's not young, but I was like, I really thought he was older than that.
I did too.
But I guess that's also the effects of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, right?
So like, how are you going to transition out of this into the topic you wanted to talk about?
So much less tragic than that, Chase DeLauder being blessed, needing surgery on his wrist, and his season is probably over, and the dreams of him coming to Cleveland are certainly off the table, I think, this year. So here's the thing. Obviously, we didn't know that he was dealing with like a wrist issue that turned into a bigger problem back when we were all touting, like, why isn't he up?
Why isn't he here? We don't know that he was dealing with it at that point. We don't know when this started.
The initial report was that, like, he's been dealing with like a minor wrist thing, like, you know, some pain, but it wasn't like stopping him from playing.
Like, just before the All-Star.
Yeah,
break.
And then it became bigger, and then they realized it was like this fracture that he needs surgery for.
Right, so, but I think people were clamoring for him before this was a thing.
That's probably true.
I mean, because correct me if I'm wrong, but people, including myself, really wanted him up here during the midst of that losing streak, and that was before a wrist thing popped up. Like, the first I saw about a wrist thing was a little bit before maybe like 4 or 5 days before the All-Star break.
Yeah.
And these things, of course, happen fast, and we have seen, you know, we've seen Jason Kipnis had this injury here. Jose Ramirez had this injury here. So this is not some thing that I do think it some senses comes out of nowhere a little bit. And his does seem to be a little bit more complicated than that. Like, it wasn't just one swing that fractured this bone and caused him to need surgery the way that I do think it was with Jose Ramirez and was with Jason Kipnis when it happened. But it's a bummer because I think they need to find out about him.
Yeah.
They need to know whether or not he's going to be a good Major League Baseball player. And of course, you're not going to know for sure if he got 2 months in the big leagues or 3 months in the big leagues this year, but you'd have more information on him. And that's part of the thing that I think the Guardians have been dragging their feet on, is he has been somebody that, to me and everybody else, except for apparently the Cleveland Guardians, has looked like somebody that is ready to be in the major leagues. And yes, he has dealt with a number of injury issues, which I think is part of the reason why he wasn't at the big leagues much, much earlier than he is right now, because he's not been able to stay healthy. But my whole thing was, well, he's not going to be able to stay healthy forever. Why not have him in the big leagues while he is healthy and performing? Because he had gotten on base in every single AAA game that he played this year. He was performing. He was showing he's ready to be in the big leagues, and they continue to drag their feet as far as calling them up. And now they're going to enter next season, in all likelihood, having no idea about him as a Major League Baseball player, and that makes this a lost season for him.
Yeah, I mean, like they, I know Zach Mizo mentioned this with Earl and I several weeks back, or maybe like a month back now. The Guardians basically said during spring training, like, Chase DeLauder will be here at some point this season. Like, they made that pretty clear. They might not have said it that deliberately, but they made it, they implied that their goal was to have him up at some point. And I can understand to a degree where it's like, yeah, he's had injury issues throughout his career, so we want to give him some time to, you know, stay healthy and whatever. But to your point, Danny, and I agree, at some point you just had to rip off the bandaid and be like, okay, maybe we don't have enough information, or I don't even want to say enough. They have a process in how they evaluate guys, and they want them to have a certain amount of at-bats and all that. So maybe it was about, like, he hasn't reached the threshold that we're comfortable with yet. Maybe it's about, like, screw your damn threshold, throw it out. Like, just get him up here, because he was healthy for a stretch there, and you could have used that bat in your lineup, and you could have at least used it to start evaluating who he is as a player. And I said that at the time. Like, get him up now before he does get hurt again.
Yep.
And so this is now turning into, like, maybe one of the biggest, like, what-ifs in this organization's history. Like, what if he... Because we don't know. Like, he could get hurt again. This might just be a thing for him, and that's unfortunate. But what I think, like, for me, next year, how they approached it this year is how they approached it this year. There's nothing you can do now. He's not coming up in 2025. I think that's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
If they start next year and they're still touting this whole, like, well, we need to see him do it at AAA a little bit longer. We need to see him stay healthy a little bit longer. So he's not, he better be on the major league roster when the season begins next year.
Oh, there's no chance of that.
If for nothing
there's
else,
no chance of that.
To be like, all right, we finally, let's start figuring out what we have in this guy. And this is assuming he's healthy through spring training too, because that's part of the problem, is he got hurt in spring training. But if he's healthy at the end of spring training, he better damn well start 2026.
Nope.
On the MLB roster, because this guy showed you maybe with a wrist issue that was flaring up, maybe not. We don't. It's kind of nebulous, like when it all sort of started, that he can hit AAA pitching.
Yeah.
He was on like a 10 game hit streak while these beginning conversations about this wrist injury started popping up. So I don't know, man. Like,
that is not how they operate.
It's not, but it,
like,
should be.
He is not
Why
going to
waste him in AAA again?
Because that's how they operate, Spencer. Because
so
that
stupid.
Is exactly how they operate. And,
so
and I would bet that he's not going to be in the big leagues until May next year. I would bet that the first month of the season, he's not going to be with the Guardians.
So we get to have this conversation all
yes,
over again.
Yes, because they care about service time manipulation. They care about him not being a Super 2 guy. They care about all those things.
But isn't service time manipulation like 4 weeks that you... It's only like 4 weeks that you need... I guess
What's
that's
four
May.
Weeks? That's May. That's,
well, now the season starts in March, so we could, you know, it could be end of April. Just saying.
It's going to be May. That's how it goes. He's not going to be... He will not be on the roster to start the season. They don't do that. Who have they given that green light to ever? Guys that have not had long term effects on the team, like other than Tyler Naquin, who started the year, his rookie year, on the big league roster, and then obviously did not last because he's currently back in A ball trying to make it back as a pitcher at this point. But Francisco Lindor, they didn't bring him up until the middle of June.
Yeah,
and you
that.
Could make the
yeah.
argument that in 2015, if they bring him up 2 weeks earlier, that's
when
a playoff team.
Did Naylor come up like the year prior for a little bit, and then they brought him all the way up the next year? I can't
no,
remember.
Bo
with
Naylor was in AAA
no,
too long.
I'm talking about Josh Naylor when Naylor first came up.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, that's the one I forget. For some reason, there's like a very... It's like a nameless gray face in my head, but I remember somebody who just like started the season. I think I could be completely
wrong. Well, it's everybody. But it might as well be a nameless, faceless person because it's been everybody.
Yeah.
They are very, very conservative with these guys, with their timeline of bringing them to the major leagues. And I do think it's to a point where they don't really have proof of concept with a lot of them. Because
that's the important part.
That's the thing that bothers me is they've been doing it this way. And it hasn't proven to work because what hitters have they developed that they've held them back? Who's it worked out for?
The last
Jose Ramirez, they brought up probably too early and then he had to go back down. And nobody expected Jose Ramirez when he was a minor league baseball player to be what he is.
He was not seen as what he is.
No. Right. He was not expected to develop into what he has developed. So I don't even think that is worth bringing up here.
You could say they developed Francisco Lindor, but I think Francisco Lindor
He was too late to come up.
True, but I think Francisco Lindor was like one of these otherworldly talents.
He was such
talents.
A can't-miss guy.
He was going to be good no matter where he came up. But they could put a feather in their cap for that one. I mean, to a degree, like they kind of developed Josh Naylor into like a power hitting guy, just who strikes out a lot and sometimes is kind of lazy. But like, you know, it is what it is.
I mean, I wouldn't call that a super success story.
No, for sure. And that's the thing. Like, you're right. That's the thing.
And
that
even then, he spent most of his minor league career with a different organization.
Right.
Two other organizations.
That's the thing that gets me, though, is what you're saying right now. Like, what evidence do we have of this? Or we know we can spend segments talking about the number of pitchers, like
I won't question anything they do to develop pitchers. I won't question that. They have proven that is they know how to do that.
If we played like there's the game where you just like name random, you know, sports figures, we could do that with just like name Guardians pitchers that started in their farm system and turned out to be good. Like there's a long, long list of those guys that have panned out. We don't question, and we can do that with those guys. We're struggling to name batters that they've actually developed, and that's the biggest problem
for
me.
That's the issue.
It's like, you have this process. I get it. Everybody does. They think they have the best way to evaluate talent, and this is across sports, over other teams, whatever. Analytics are a big part of this game in all sports now as well. Like, that comes into play. But what proof do we have that it's worked? They've been touting these middle infielders, Brian Rocchio, Tyler Freeman, Gabe Arias.
They had at one point like 8 middle infielders on their 40-man roster, and none of them are actually good.
And none of them have really panned out. The best we can say is that Rocchio showed up in the playoffs last year. That's all we got.
And he did, and credit to them. But like, their best middle infielder is Daniel Schneeman.
Yeah. Yeah.
And no offense to Daniel Schneeman, but that's not exactly a World Series winning formula.
And Bazana, I think, has a chance to be good, but like, given this organization's history of developing hitters, like, are we sure about that?
Well, I do wonder where he would be right now had he not had the oblique injury that cost him 6 or 8 weeks this year. Like, I think that, and listen, that's not, I can't.
Are we holding out any hope that he gets up here before the season's over?
This year?
Or that he's like a September, like, roster expansion edition?
Are we talking about the Guardians? Like, are we talking about this organization being aggressive with that?
The one
no.
with the stadium that's over
no,
there?
There's no chance of that. Like, and maybe had he not gotten hurt, that would have happened. But I look at it as, okay, he's probably going to be in the minor leagues until next July, because that's how things work here. They're not aggressive with prospects, that they're not aggressive with hitting prospects, and they've not been good at it. Like, I hope Bazana pans out. I don't know that he's a can't miss guy, but I hope that he pans out.
I don't think he was labeled as that coming out either. So all this conversation though is just more reason why they cannot miss the opportunity to buy in some capacity at the deadline, in my opinion. Because the one thing you could have held out hope for was like, all right, you need an injection in this lineup. If you don't want to do anything, okay.
Well,
they
still need it with CJ Cephas.
Yeah,
like they need to call him up too.
Like, you had that in your back pocket. Now it's like, okay, you don't have that necessarily if you're hoping to change something with this lineup. What are you going to do to maximize this? I just can't wrap my head around if they stand pat at this point. We were getting some tweets on the Guardians a little bit early in the show. We were talking about him. Jim Carrero says, or Carrot, I don't even know. I'm just going to leave it.
What's his name?
Correo. Corrao. Correo. I think I got it.
Are you sure?
Anyway, I'm not going to say it again. This beating who they are supposed to beat stuff with the Guardians. They lost 10 straight. Why can't people just be happy that they responded with 11 to 13? It's baseball. Anyone can beat anyone. Lose, people bitch. Win. Well, who the hell did they beat?
Oh. Well, I don't think anyone's upset that they're winning. I'm
That's what
very
I said.
Happy
excited
they're
that they're winning.
Like, you should be happy that they're winning, but I just also don't think that I don't want people to be tricked into thinking they're all of a sudden this juggernaut or World Series contender.
Right.
Like, it
That's
is the awesome the run they've been on, but they had to win 11 of 13 to become 51-50.
Yeah. Like, they're a game over 500.
Yes.
And that's the problem for me. It's like, how did we get to this record? There's the Guardian story can't just be, well, hey, they're winning now in July and maybe into early August, and they're playing inferior opponents. It has to be like, big picture, we saw this team go an entire month without being able to hit their way out of a paper bag. Like, what, like, there's something missing there. And I just think it would be a disservice to not maximize. Yeah, you're hot. Great. But now that you're back in the conversation, like, take advantage of that. Maximize it. Add to the roster. If they do nothing, it tells me they think they're fine. Everything's fine. And it's not.
Well, or it could tell them, it could tell you that they don't actually believe in this. Like, that could be it too, that they don't, they think this is fool's gold.
And they're just kind of riding it out because they're just going to let it be what it is.
Winning 11 of 13 can erase in the standings a 10 game losing streak.
Yeah.
But it can't erase the fact that it happened.
Yeah.
It can't erase it from,
it's burned into my memory. No,
it cannot erase it from your memory. And I think that is almost just as important.
Social media reactions, by the way, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. When we talked to Mary Kay about an hour ago, she mentioned potentially adding to one position group and not adding to another one, which I kind of found surprising. 216-474-0092 if you want to jump in at any point here. Final couple of segments with Spencer German and Danny Cunningham. This same dynamic duo back tomorrow. So, again, if you're counting reps for hosts here at the station along with the quarterback reps, it'll be me, 4 shows, Danny, 3 shows, Daryl, 3 shows by the end of this week. So I don't know what that means, but could
read
be nothing.
Read into it what you will.
Yeah, read into it what you will. Danny, we talked to Mary Kay, obviously, last hour, and we asked her point blank about adding a running back to this room, given the Quinshon Judkins situation. We'll start there, but there's another position group I want to get into with this. Do you think they'll add somebody at some point? I mean, I don't know what that looks like because, like, the free agent market, I just got a tweet, like, during the break. I got more people mentioning to me that D'Ernest Johnson is out there on the market than I can, like, I haven't heard D'Ernest Johnson's name in, like, 3 years. And now, all of a sudden, like, in the last week, I've heard it, like, more times than I ever thought I'd ever hear it again in my lifetime. So, like, I know he's out there. There's a couple other, like, names. Jamal Williams, I think, is out there. But
I think that with where they're at right now, and of course this Judkins situation is going to play out a little bit further legally before we get resolution on that, and that's fine. And even then, I don't think that the Browns should expect to be able to have him playing football this year.
You don't think he might play this whole year?
I would not be surprised if he doesn't. I mean, I think it's very complicated with him not signing his contract. And I just think that this could drag out a little bit. And I'm not saying that that's going to be the way that it goes, but I think that this thing could drag out potentially longer than we anticipate.
So you think it's not, like, you don't think he's going to get like a year suspension?
No,
per
but
se.
I just think that the fact
you
that he's unsigned
complicates
things.
He's going to play hardball
things.
And be like, well, I still want my money. And the Browns might be like, we're not giving it to you. And it could just play out that way.
I think it complicates things.
Because I would think in that situation, if you're his agent and whatnot, you're going to have to sort of concede a little bit.
Like, I imagine so. But
I know he wants the fully guaranteed contract. The guys around him got the fully guaranteed contract. But getting caught up in this situation, I think you lose some leverage there because now the Browns have something they can say to you of like, well, hey, we would have been more willing to give you this, but now we don't know if we can trust you. So I don't. I see what you're saying. It's an interesting point.
I just think it's a very complicated things situation.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be crazy if he doesn't play the whole year, though. For sure.
And somebody somewhere is going to get cut. Somebody somewhere that is good is going to get cut. And I just, if the Browns are not, if the names out there right now don't appeal to them, especially at that specific position, I do think that they can afford to wait a little bit and see somebody that is going to get cut. Somebody good will get cut at some point in training camp. Now, it's not going to be, you know, you're not going to get prime Nick Chubb on the waiver wire, but I do think that you can find somebody that is worth a roster spot at that spot that's going to be cut by another team, and maybe that's when they make a move then. And they can also kind of see what they have right now going into camp before they have to add.
My thing is this. I'm not saying they won't add another person to the room because this time of year, you have a 90-man roster for a reason. You just want guys that can be on your roster. Compete, yes, but you also kind of understand, like, in some ways, some of these guys are only really here to just be kind of like crash test dummies for the ones, right? Like, you kind of get, you understand how this goes when you sign up for that because you get a chance to try to earn a roster spot. So it's a chance for you to keep playing football. I think anybody that they would just like add willy-nilly out of free agency, I think that's just a guy who is here for camp. He's probably not making this team. And that's why I found like the D'Ernest Johnson conversation so interesting because it's like, hey, bring him in. Like, he's great. But it's also like, if D'Ernest Johnson gets brought in at this point, there's a reason D'Ernest Johnson isn't signed to a team. Like, he's probably just here for camp. And then that's it. Because they'll probably cut this roster down. I've sort of predicted they keep three, and I think those three would be Jerome Ford, obviously Dylan Sampson, and then Pierre Strong.
Well, and Pierre Strong, a lot of it is that he's been a special teams ace.
For sure.
He's done so much more. Like, you're not – Pierre Strong is not on the roster, and I'm with you. Like, I think he will be, but
– I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
He's not on the roster solely because he's a running back. He's on the roster because he covers punts, because he's on a kickoff team, because he does so many extra things too. And you need guys like that.
Yeah, I think that's very true. I also wondered, like, if Quinshon, with Quinshon getting caught up in this, like, I think it honestly makes Pierre Strong that much more valuable. Like, he would have been the guy that maybe was on the outside looking into this group with Quinshon here, even with his special teams ability.
I do wonder
now
if the
I'm
special
like,
teams
I think Pierre Strong's absolutely making this roster when it's all said and done.
I do wonder if the special team stuff would have saved him, like would have kept him on a roster spot, because maybe Jerome Ford would have been the guy that gets cut. Like, I don't know. And now I think all three of those guys will make the roster because Quinshon Judkins is not going to play 17 games of football this year. I'm pretty confident in saying that.
I'm willing to bet probably about
that as
well.
I would be stunned if he plays in 17 football games for the Browns this year.
Same with Joe Flacco, honestly.
Same with Joe Flacco for different reasons. So I do think that right now all three of those guys are safe.
Yeah, I would agree. The other position that we asked Mary Kay about, and I think this one's even more interesting, was the wide receiver room. And the idea that, like, yeah, you have a very inexperienced group. And I've been saying for a while, Danny, that the wide receiver room that you see right now is not going to be the wide receiver room week one. And obviously, like, there's some truth to that. Just, you know, if you're taking that literal, is like, yeah, they're going to cut a bunch of guys, of course. But I'm saying, like, if you take, like, the top six guys that are on this roster right now that would potentially be your six wide receivers that you keep, I don't think it's going to be the six that we think it is. Like, I think someone from the outside is coming into this room at some point. What that looks like, I don't know. But Mary Kay downplayed it and said she doesn't necessarily think that's on their radar right now. And she related it back to the thing that I think is the key in all this. A lot more 12 personnel this year.
Yep.
Harold Fannin Jr. can sort of be that slot receiver for you if you need. And that's the spot they're missing the most. They have Jerry Jeudy. They're really leaning into Cedric Tillman. Who's going to be that slot guy? Is it going to be Jamari Thrash? Is it going to be Deontay Johnson, etc.? But going back to 12 personnel, you know, I do think there's a world where it's like just a lot of Harold Fannin out there running in the slot, and even David Njoku to a degree as well. I don't know, man. Like, I still just feel like they have to add to this room at some point.
I think part of the way their roster is set up with Harold Fannin Jr. with David Njoku is they've got two tight ends that can operate as wide receivers to some extent. And I think that just makes your roster building a little bit easier. And I think that the way your roster should be constructed when you're in a position where the Browns are in versus a team that has legitimate Super Bowl aspirations, I just think wide receiver is one of those spots where it can be tough, certainly here, to find guys that are awesome in the draft, at least for the Browns, because Andrew Berry has shown he cannot draft wide receivers. But this year, I just don't look at that specific position as a very important one. When you are a winning football team, it is. But when you are in a position the Browns are in, if they don't have a great wide receiver core this year, I do think it is something that if they find a quarterback, I think that's something that could be a little bit easier to remedy next offseason for them.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. And I probably should be more accepting of the 12 personnel thing, and I am, because I've talked a ton about that both here and other places. Like, they're getting back to that identity. It matters. I don't know, man. I'm not saying Cedric Tillman isn't going to be good. I have a lot of hopes for Cedric Tillman. I just wonder if they need like one more guy, even understanding they're going to be running more 12 personnel.
Who's that guy going to be?
I don't know. Like that, and that's the thing. Like
what name out there excites you? Amari Cooper at this point? Probably
like
not.
They tried last year to put together like this young up and coming wide receiver group with the Jerry Jeudy trade, obviously in the offseason. And then during training camp, there was all the smoke about trying to trade for Brandon Ayuk. Like they were going to put these two guys together, two guys in their mid 20s and sort of like go off and running. Does that just disappear now because you're going back to Kevin Stefanski's offense? Like, I still think they want quality receivers that they can bank on for a long time. And the one way Andrew Berry's been able to get them has been via trade. He's knocked those out of the park. Amari Cooper was a slam dunk. Jerry Jeudy, at least after the first year, looks like he's going to be a guy that they guessed right on or chose right on. So I just, like, I have hopes for Cedric Tillman. I think he's shown some promise, and it stinks that last year the concussion kind of derailed his season, because I think we would have got a better picture of what he kind of brings to the table, and we would maybe have an answer to that already right now. But I don't know if I can feel confident that a wide receiver room that has Jerry Jeudy and then, you know, just
a bunch of unproven bigger questions.
Yeah, like is the path forward with this group, even in 2025 when they're going back to more 12 personnel.
Yeah, I do think that they probably need one less wide receiver than a typical year for the Browns, because they are going to be in more 12 personnel. And who knows, maybe Harold Fannin Jr. can play in that slot a little bit more, and that could alleviate some of the need there. I just don't think that there's somebody out there that you look at that can come in and be a guy that can be your number three, or that you're going to want to have on the field all that often. Like, I just don't think that the options there are all that great, and I just don't think that juice is worth the squeeze for the Browns with where they are at as a team and as a roster overall.
216-474-0092. Do you think the Browns need to still go out and pursue a wide receiver addition for this room? Do you think they need to add a running back as well? Because again, the D'Ernest Johnson tweets are hot and heavy right now in my mentions. They just keep on spilling in from people who want to see them bring back D'Ernest Johnson, which is funny to me too, because D'Ernest Johnson had like that one game on Thursday Night Football where it was like, oh, this is the future. And he's like survived in this town off of that one game, even though he went other places and was never really that good. By the way, Robert who listens quite a bit, DarkSatan624 on Twitter is his actual handle. He says, speaking as a Seahawks fan, is Marshawn Lynch available to bring into Cleveland? LOL.
Marshawn Lynch is not coming to Cleveland. Feel pretty confident in saying that.
Even if Marshawn, like, I loved Marshawn Lynch in the prime.
How old is he at this point?
I was going to say, like, you think Marshawn Lynch has any desire to come back and play football at this point, let alone
in Cleveland? He's 39.
So the Steelers can have a 40-plus-year-old quarterback, and the Browns can have a 40-plus-year-old running back by the end of the season.
Well, no, he'll be 40 in April, so he'll be 39
all
season.
Okay, so he'll be 39 all season.
But I'm going to pass on that one. I'm going to say no. I don't think that one's going to happen.
Something tells me that Marshawn Lynch is not the same Marshawn Lynch from several years ago. He still might be fueled by Skittles, but I don't know that he's like running people over the same way. Marshawn Lynch was, man, he was like...
He was awesome.
He was a time. That was like
it was the time.
I will go back and like remember like the best running backs of my like youth, and I'll mention Marshawn Lynch in that conversation just because of like it was the big explosive plays. Like they were always more fun with him than anybody else. Like there's Nick Chubb like breaking away, and it's like, oh, he's this great back, but Marshawn, it was just like throwing.
It was great. It was
the
awesome.
The way he did it, you'll retell those stories as if like the entire defense was on his back and he would like just throw them off of him and then like
it was.
Run to the end zone. It was just incredible. Yeah. But yeah, 39. I think I'm good.
Yeah. I'm good there.
But we appreciate this.
Not played since 2019.
We appreciate
He's not played since before the pandemic.
I love, by the way, when we use like presidencies as like our you know notches of time.
Yeah, for the Steelers playoff wins,
right? Like
since the Obama administration.
The Obama it really does like really give you like this sobering feeling of how long things have been when you do that. Same thing with the pandemic. Like when you say anything's like pre-pandemic, you're like, whoo, lots happened since then. A lot has also happened during the course of this show. The other part of that conversation obviously centers around red zone. And is it going to be like
that's the thing I don't want
to touch. Hosted by Stephen A. Smith and Pat McAfee?
That would destroy it. That would just destroy what it is.
Just Pat McAfee in the background.
My bigger worry would be that it would go from 7 hours of commercial free football to 7 hours of commercial filled football.
Yeah, I mean that might just be a problem.
That would be my worry.
If ESPN takes it over anyway, that might just be an issue.
That's my worry there.
We don't have time for that now, though, Danny, to debate this even further because we had some breaking news. That came down quite literally during the break, or right before the break, I think, as Jets quarterback Justin Fields was carted to the locker room during practice this morning with an apparent lower leg injury. And all of a sudden, after we spent much of this morning's show talking about the quarterback competition, how long it's going to take to name a starter, maybe the Browns are going to get to name their starter a little sooner and they can trade somebody to the New York Jets. Are the Jets in the market for
they might be.
A quarterback?
They might be. They might be. They might be looking for a former first-round pick that has a Super Bowl ring.
They also might be looking for a former Jets quarterback.
They could. Which one?
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at dafgiving360.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Which one would you rather trade? Which one would you rather keep around? One would you rather trade?
That's a good question. I think I'd rather trade Pickett and have Flacco stick around, because at least with Flacco, you know what's going on here. Like, he's here for a year. You're just trying to maximize like where you're at in the season. You know there's no future with Flacco, so that puts the onus on the organization to still like draft a quarterback and all that. Pickett, my worry would be that they would try to talk us into Pickett for like 2-3 years here and be like, hey, we see something. He's going to be our Sam Darnold. He's our reclamation project. Let's stick it out with him. And I just don't.
Sam Darnold was at least like supposed to be good at one point. Kenny Pickett was a first-round pick, right? Because he had one good year in school at Pitt, and the Pittsburgh Steelers needed a quarterback, and he was there at 20.
And he faked a slide that went viral.
It was cool. That was a really cool
that
move.
That was the coolest
thing. But that's
Kenny
like
Pickett's
kind of the
done.
Only cool thing he's ever done. Like, he's known for that and wearing gloves. And I do think with Joe Flacco, the other side of things there is, if you do think, let's say that Dillon Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders becomes something, even if that something is a backup quarterback, who can they learn more from during a 17-game season? Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett? They can learn more from Joe Flacco.
For sure.
And I think that is kind of what part of this year should be about. And I think that sort of colors the direction that I would want to go.
Yeah, and it goes back to what I said as well, which is if this team, as young as they are, technically two young running backs, one might not play for a while or at all in Danny Cunningham's mind. A young tight end that, listen, David Njoku's in a contract year. Maybe you're going to pivot to him as your future at tight end. Young receiver room with not a lot of experience. You're talking about like trying to learn more about this team, this roster, these guys. Flacco's the guy who is going to give you a better idea of that. Like go back to 2023. Five games with David Njoku, he made him a Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
Five games with Elijah Moore, and Elijah Moore looked like the receiver that we thought the Browns traded for. It was like, oh yeah, this guy can be like a nice role player wide receiver for you who catches passes and makes some plays when he has a competent quarterback throwing him the football.
Man, Amari Cooper looked like Josh Gordon.
Yeah. Amari Cooper's breaking records with Joe Flacco as his quarterback. Like, that's not for nothing. So, yeah, I do think if I'm picking between the two, I think I'd rather keep Flacco. For the short term, obviously, and I get that's what that move would be about, but I'm okay with that, and I think I would probably trade Pickett. But now, like, so this is where it gets interesting. Last year, I don't think there really was a major, like, quarterback injury, aside from, like, the Vikings losing J.J. McCarthy.
But they had Sam Darnold already,
so they weren't worried about
it. The Jets don't have anybody.
Right, the Jets have nobody. So
who is their backup right now?
I honestly couldn't tell you. Do we want to take any guesses while I look this up?
I have no idea.
Tyrod Taylor?
No, he's somewhere
else. That's my guess.
Meredith would have said Tyrod Taylor.
That's my guess. That's true. She's like the Tyrod Taylor tracker. Their backup quarterback.
Oh, it's Tyrod Taylor.
Let's go. I
can't believe
right.
Meredith didn't say that.
Thank you. Yeah, Meredith.
I was waiting for you to walk into it.
Your fandom is revoked.
Yeah, sure. Walk it back.
Her fandom is revoked.
You call yourself a Hokie fan.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. You're not. You didn't know that Tyrod Taylor. So maybe the Jets don't want a quarterback.
I'd rather have Tyrod Taylor than Kenny Pickett.
I can't believe they had Tyrod Taylor, and I can't believe I got that right.
Good for you.
That's crazy. So the other interesting thing with there's a number of teams that have quarterbacks for sale, though, too. That's the other thing. Like, and one of them shares a building with the Jets. Because, like, the Giants have, like, 20 guys at quarterback.
And none of them are good.
They theoretically, they've already said Russell Wilson's their starter. So you want to know what the timeline is for the Giants? They're like, it's now. We already know. But like they have Jackson Dart, who they're trying to develop. I would guess they want him to be the second guy. But then you also have Jameis there, so Jameis might be a viable option if you're choosing between trading for
what an electric quarterback room that is.
A lot of personalities, a lot of interesting people. I saw Jackson Dart's first pass of like 11-on-11s was a pick six. I was like, oh, there we go.
So fitting for the Giants.
There we go. But I guess if you're the Jets and you're like, okay, we can either trade for Jameis Winston or Kenny Pickett. Who are you taking?
Probably Jameis Winston. Like, I just think Jameis Winston, yeah.
I don't think Jameis Winston is good.
I think they're the same guy. I think they are the same exact football
same
player.
Same guy. One just has
like,
one has a future in preaching when they retire.
Yes. I think they are the same football player. They have very different personalities, but I think they're the same football player. Like, think back to what Joe Flacco did here the first time, where he would have these just electric 300 yard plus passing games, but he's also going to throw two terrible picks.
Yeah.
Like, even
that
in the game
in the
against
playoffs.
The game against the Texans, the game against the Jets, like he would just go off with these outstanding numbers and then throw a pick six. Like, you know, that happened. Jameis Winston, think back to that game against Denver where he threw for almost 500 yards, threw for almost 600 if you count in the pick six.
That game was so electric.
Yes, but like, they are the same guy.
And then they still
They
lost.
Are the same they guy kind at quarterback.
I'll be honest, though, I still don't blame Flacco for the Texans loss. It's not on him.
No, I mean, the defense could not
played
stop
like
them.
Garbage, and neither of those interceptions came until the second half when they were like he was trying to dig him out of it at that
right,
point.
Right, I think they were down 13 at that point when the first one.
He was taking more chances because he knew he had to dig him out of it, and everyone was like, oh, Flacco, look what he did in the playoffs. Like, everyone tried to let that game tarnish Joe Flacco's pristine legacy from the previous five games in Cleveland where we all fell in love with him, and I will not stand for it because the defense looked like hot garbage that day. And then the very next day, a locker room cleanout day, Greg Newsom stood there and told us, like, yeah, I thought I played pretty well. And we were all like, you sure about that? We've already watched the All-22, my friend.
Sure you didn't.
It did not look good.
No, it did not.
I think Baskin and Phelps love to play the game of, do we want him? I think that should be Jets radio today. They should just be bouncing around asking if they want different quarterbacks.
And for all we know, Justin Fields could have a cramp. And that's why it was Carter the locker. That is one of the things I love about these. Just not about the injuries, but the early diagnosis. But key piece of information: he was not on the back of the cart. He was sitting in the passenger seat. Does that change
how you feel? You just see that?
I did see that in somebody's. Okay. I think that was Rich Cimini tweeted that.
Okay, so this is like the
that's big. That's important.
This is like the two insiders that are going to have to fight for their job. They put it out there, and so everyone reacts to it, but we don't necessarily know if it's as bad as it seems. Okay.
Maybe. It could just be a cramp. Who knows?
I mean, it happened to Paul Pierce.
Or they could be trading for Kenny Pickett. Who knows?
Hey, the more options, the better. The more places
you have to think about it that way. You do have to think about it that way, and this could potentially maybe. I don't want to jump to conclusions. I hope Justin Fields is okay, right? Like, you don't want to see a guy get hurt.
Yeah, we probably should have started with that disclaimer.
Yeah, maybe we could have. but I do, like, maybe this is another option for the Browns.
Yeah.
And do you think they're going to carry all four? Like, are you of that opinion?
So it's funny. I did a 53-man roster projection the other day as, like, a fun exercise. And I had them keeping four initially, but my caveat of that was like, they did this last year where they kept all four through the initial cut down period. But do I think they're going to keep four going into week one? Absolutely not. Like, I think they could do it through the end of roster cut down weekend, because they might be like, okay, same thing they did last year, try to float one, try to trade one, see if anybody bites, whatever. And then when nobody does and they call their bluff, inevitably, maybe just be like, okay, now we have to cut one. So I don't think they get to week one with them, but I could see them keeping all four to see if they can necessitate a trade if it doesn't come sooner. But now the Jets might be an option.
Yeah,
Saints,
you never know.
Saints, I think, remain an option.
I mean, the Saints remain an option without question. Like, they will always, they will be the very clear option for as long as they are.
Yeah. Kellen Moore connection to Kenny Pickett. Young quarterbacks in that room.
Very easy to imagine.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.